Mike Tegubin. Hello, friend, and greetings once again in the wonderful, wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. John 6:33-35. This is Bob Griggs with the Bread of Life broadcast, and thank you for turning your radio dial to join us for the next few moments. It's our privilege to come into your presence to share with you the truth of the eternal God. And I invite you to get your Bible or New Testament and join us for just a brief Bible study in the book of Romans chapter 5 as we're seeking to encourage you to get into your Bible and to read the Word of Almighty God. The Word of God, beloved, is so rich and so full of truth that will deliver and liberate and set you free from the bondage, the control, and the dominion of sin. My sweetheart wife and I, a few months ago, it was in February, I guess, we were listening to the radio as we were working on a puzzle one evening. She loves to work on puzzles, and so I was working on a puzzle with her. And as we were listening to the radio, working on this puzzle, we heard a radio broadcast from a gentleman that was talking about reading the Bible through in 3.5 months by reading 12 pages a day. And my sweetheart wife said, that sounds like a challenge that I will take. And so she started the last week of February. She began reading 12 pages of the Bible every day, and about the middle of June, she finished reading the entire Bible. In just around 3.5 months, she read the entire Bible, reading 12 pages every day. She said it was one of the greatest blessings that she had ever experienced. One or two nights she was up until 1 or 2:30 in the morning reading because of interruptions and phone calls that had come in and had kept her from her Bible reading. But she determined that she would read and stay with it, and she said it was of immense blessing to her life. Well, you know, that's what God promises, that if we will read His Word, He will bless us. And we will grow through it, and it will strengthen and encourage us in our walk with Him. Beloved, Satan and his demons do not want you reading God's Word. Our enemy will do everything he can to keep you and me from reading the Word of God on a daily, regular basis. I'm in the process of reading the Word of God again through this year, and I completed it and read it through last year and have in the past, and I'm continuing to do it because I need it, beloved. I need it in my daily walk with the Lord. I need the cleansing effect the Word of God has upon my life. I need the encouragement the Word of God gives me. I need the meat of the Word to help me grow in the knowledge of the Lord. I need the Word of God to use as a weapon against the forces of evil and against Satan and his power. Obeying God's Word and even memorizing God's Word keeps me from sin, beloved. And thus I need the Word of God, for it is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, even dividing asunder the joints and marrow. That is, it is a discerner of the intents and motives of the heart. Oh, beloved, God's Word will liberate and set us free from the bondage and control and dominion and the power of sin. And so, beloved, it is a must for every believer to get into the Word of God. And that's why we're looking here in Romans chapter 5 today, and we're discussing and considering the wonderful facts and truths that the Word of God opens up to our minds and to our thinking regarding the deliverance from the power of sin we have through our Lord Jesus Christ. Last time we left off with Romans 5:5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Yes, beloved, the love of God. Oh, the wonderful, wonderful love that God gives to us through the indwelling Holy Spirit. The wonderful love that God has manifested to us and shown forth to us. Oh, turn with me to 1 Corinthians 13 and let's briefly again be reminded of this agape love, this great love of the Lord God for you and for me, beloved. A love that's not based on emotion, a love that is based upon a choice and a decision to love. And it's that kind of love that God has for you and for me. For God so loved mankind that He gave His only begotten Son. God, with agape love, chose to love you and me, and thus He chose every believer before the foundation of the world, beloved. And it's a marvelous mystery why God would choose me. But I'm so glad He did. I'm so glad He had me in mind before this world was ever spoken into existence. Before it ever came about, God knew you and He knew me as children of God. We who've accepted Christ as Savior through the indwelling Holy Spirit of God, drawing us and doing the work of salvation within us, it's all of Him. And this marvelous love Paul speaks of in 1 Corinthians 13, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not this agape love, spoken of as charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mystery and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, God's agape love, I am nothing. This love of God, beloved, though I have faith enough to remove mountains, if I have not the love of God, it amounts to nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. I remember during the Vietnam War, Buddhist priests in Vietnam setting their bodies on fire and burning themselves in their stand against the war and against tyranny and against terror. And yet, beloved, it did them no good. It did them no good. They went out of one fire into a worse fire, into hell, because, beloved, they did not know Jesus Christ, and they did not put their faith and trust in Him. For neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's only one way of salvation, and one might say, but they were sincere. Yes, beloved, they were sincerely wrong. For there's only one way to that Father, and that's through Jesus Christ. There's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. Religion can't save you. The church can't save you. Good works can't save you. Doing the best you can't save you. There's only one way that you can be saved, and that is through a personal relationship. Believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for your sins, was buried, and arose victor over death, hell, and the grave, who lives today, seated at the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for the believer. Oh, beloved, He's interceding for you as well. If you know Him not as Savior, He wants you to come to Him, to believe in Him, to accept Him. And He says, whosoever will may come. That's your name, beloved. You're included if you know Him not. You may come and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You may accept Him as Savior. You may be born again. Today, if you'll cry out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I believe, Lord Jesus, You died for my sin, that You were buried, that You arose again, that You live today. Come into my life, Lord Jesus. He'll send His Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ. As Romans 8:9 tells us, the Spirit of Christ will come into your spirit and will deliver you from the bondage of sin, will make you pure and clean and holy and righteous within your spirit, and He Himself will move in as God's guarantee of His salvation. Oh, beloved, how wonderful to know this glorious love of God. It's all based on the love of God. Love suffereth long, it's long-suffering, and is kind. Love envieth not, as it's not jealous nor envious of someone else's place or position. Love vaunteth not itself, it does not promote itself, it does not exalt itself, it does not seek to build up itself. Love is not puffed up and proud and haughty. Love doth not behave itself unseemly. In other words, love has good manners, beloved. Love doth not seek her own, but it seeks the good and the welfare of others. Love is not easily provoked and angered. Love thinks no evil, beloved. Love does not think evil, negative thoughts about people. Love does not put people down. Love rejoiceth in iniquity. Love rejoiceth not in iniquity. Love finds no pleasure in sin. It finds no pleasure in iniquity. And so what Hollywood calls love, that's not love, beloved. That's lust. Lust and love have no fellowship. Love gives. Lust gets. Lust seeks to get for itself. Lust is selfish. Lust is self-centered. Love is giving. Love seeketh not its own, is not self-centered, and seeketh not its own, but rejoiceth in the truth. Oh, yes, beloved, love, God's love rejoices in truth. God's love bears all things. God's love believes all things. God's love hopeth all things. God's love endures all things. The love of God is shed abroad in my sweetheart wife's heart so that she's able to endure the suffering of the lupus and the pain of the lupus. She's not able to take the drugs, the synthetic drugs that man's created, because it would cause her lupus to reactivate. And so we have to just do what we can to keep her comfortable, but the love of God gives her the grace that she needs to endure it. Love never faileth, beloved. God's love never fails. Oh, do you know it? Have you experienced it? Till next time, goodbye.